opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
And strike three. Six Ks for Lugo in five scoreless innings.
Woo!
And Lugo gets him. Letter high cutter. And he got him with a fastball. High heat from Lugo, and he's got his second strikeout.
Watch how he sets up hitters. Okay, right here. There's a breaking ball. It sets up Christian Walker, and he struck him out the next pitch. Here's a slider, and then he comes in with a heater. Next guy, DeCenzo, you're down. And the third guy here, Caratini, there it was. Two different pitches. He's great. He's a master at setting guys up.
Swung on and missed. Strike three. Eight Ks for Lugo. Seven scoreless.
Yeah, who's watching you is us. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score as we continue our stalking segment because we want to talk about people you might be honing in on ahead of the trade deadline. We talked about Mitch Keller yesterday. Today, we set our sights on Seth Lugo. Why is it fun to bring up both of their names? Well, they faced off last night.
It's great, actually, that we just talked about someone yesterday and then he immediately hits the mound. And he doesn't lose, doesn't win, no decisions for everyone in a win for Seth Lugo's team, in which he also gets the no decision. And I think the biggest thing takeaway-wise from last night specifically is that Seth Lugo looks pretty doggone good of late.
He does. The Royals beat the Pirates last night 4-3. They are now second in the AL Central as we, number one, try to figure out if he's even available. There's that part of it. The Royals right now 14 games back of the Tigers, but that's because of how good the Tigers are at 59-34. But they're only four games back of a wild card. They and the Minnesota Twins.
One of three teams, four games back in that wild card race. The AL is wide open in terms of the playoffs. A lot of that has to do with slides by the Yankees and other teams. And the division in the AL West might be a two-team race. The division in the AL Central, that race is over. Seemingly, because Detroit's not slowing down for anyone. But the AL East is wide open, and some of the other teams that are just hanging within earshot of 500 are within earshot also of a playoff spot.
Well, and that's why it's important to acknowledge whether or not Seth Lugo may be available. Now, let's talk about his contract, number one. He turns 36 in November. So his age is a part of this, and I think will affect, if he is traded, the price. He's got a $15 million player option for next season, but it sounds like he might be opting out of it given that he finished second in the Cy Young voting. He was an all-star. He has a body of work that is impressive, and there are many teams who want him. Like, the Mets are also in the fray on this when it comes to teams who are interested in his services.
I think the Mets Dodgers, Yankees are all teams just like the Cubs that need pitching. And when we talk about Lugo, here's why he's right now number one on my list of guys that the Cubs should just go after and get. Number one, he is an out-getter. Last year, he led the league in batter's face, 836. He pitched over 200 innings in a time in which people don't do that. He pitched 206 innings. You mentioned the fact that he was second to you-know-who, Tarek Skubal, in the Cy Young voting, but also a Gold Glove winner. He fits right up the middle with what you're talking about, the spine of the defense. He can help himself with what he's able to do on the mound. And I think the other thing that I don't want to get lost in the shuffle, he did pitch in the postseason last year, making two starts. He gave up one run in 4 1/3 and a win against the Orioles, and two runs in 5 innings against the Yankees. I like the fact that he is a guy who has shown that he can not only be a big moment pitcher, but he can come up when the regular season's over.
But here's the rub. As we mentioned, the Royals are on one right now. They've now won, after last night's win, I believe it is 8 out of their last 12. So when you consider that, he might not be available, but let's admire the body of work. He also throws a ton of pitches.
10 of them.
Yeah, you've got a sinker, a curveball, a four-seam fastball, a cutter, a slurve, a changeup, a slider, and a, just to mix it up, slow curve. The guy knows how to pitch. That's the bottom line here. He will add value to a team even at 35 years old, even if he decides to opt out in that age 36 season. I could see why he is an attractive trade candidate. And you think that he is even higher than that for you.
Here's why. So a 1.54 ERA over his last 7 starts. So it's like, if you want to go, what have you done for me lately? That's cool. But understanding how good the Cubs offense has been and what we expect out of them on a night-to-night basis, if you told me I'm going to add a pitcher to the rotation that in 12 of his 17 starts gave up 2 earned runs or less, and that he went 5-plus innings in all but 1 start this season, I think you'd sign up for that.
Let's also listen to what others have to say about Seth Lugo, because that's what stalking is all about. It's not just about what we say. What do the others say? So let's start with Ozzie Guillen talking about Seth Lugo when he faced the White Sox on June 6th.
It's outstanding, you know, because Lugo's on the mound. Lugo's been playing Nintendo against the White Sox hitting. All of a sudden today, the White Sox take advantage. It was deep in the counts a lot of pitching count. That's the reason they take it out in the 5th inning. And good job by the hitters today.
My only question, Ozzie, is, was he playing Little League Baseball? Was he playing Bases Loaded 2? Was he playing Baseball Stars? Which NES game was he playing against the White Sox when he was dominating?
Ozzie,
Lugo's been playing Nintendo.
I feel like Ozzie would tee that up perfectly in a response.
Maybe Tecmo Baseball? I can go on and on with this one. The original MLB Baseball on Nintendo? Look, Nintendo got a lot of baseball games.
That they do, and I feel like they have as many as pitches that Lugo throws. Let's also hear from his manager, Matt Quattaro, on what Seth Lugo does so well.
We couldn't be happier, you know, for sure, not only on what he's done on the field, but what he's done behind the scenes, the way he leads in the clubhouse, the way he communicates with the pitching staff, but also the coaching staff, just the person he's been. It's been a pleasure to have him and his family here with us, for sure. But then you take to what he's done on the field, and it'd be really hard to find flaw in anything he's done.
You heard the mention of family there. Do you know what his nickname is? Seth Lugo's nickname is Puerto Rican. Do you know why his nickname is Puerto Rican? It's a nod to his paternal grandfather. And he also played for the Puerto Rican team back in the 2017 World Baseball Classic. So he's from Louisiana, and he wasn't sure when he got to Team Puerto Rico whether or not he'd be accepted, because like, he's a Louisiana boy. But they welcomed him with open arms, and as a nod to that, he's been called Puerto Rican ever since. And he's, as they said, a 10-year veteran. You mentioned he's turning 36 soon. He knows what this is, and he knows what this ain't.
Well, he also is pitching. I mean, to finish second in Cy Young voting at 34, that is an incredible feat to have in Major League Baseball. So, number one, if you're the Royals, I see why you would want to keep him, because he helps you get the best chance to still contend for that wild card. But if, given his age, given what you know the options look like, you know, if you want to move somebody, Russ talked about the possibility of buying and selling at the same time. That might be savvy for them. Let's listen to his general manager on the Royals late last season about what he saw out of him.
He's been outstanding. I mean, it's been fun to watch him, because, you know, we know what we thought he would be from afar, but now you're in the clubhouse with him, you're watching the work that he does. It feels like he's even getting better with maybe more experience as a starter. With all the different pitches he throws, the strikes that he throws, you almost feel like he's starting to figure out how to strike guys out as well, at least over the last two games. So he's been, I mean, we couldn't ask him to do anything more than what he's done. So it's been really fun to watch, and it's exciting. You look forward to watching him pitch.
In Seth Lugo's last seven starts, the righty has gone 41 innings with a .132 ERA. 132. The whip, sub one at 0.95. 43 strikeouts compared to 14 walks. There's a lot to love.
So, slight concerns would be the fact that his strikeout to walk ratio is 2.84, which is the lowest that it's been in quite some time. You got to go all the way back to his rookie season. His strikeouts per nine, just 7.8. Look, his fastball average is 91.6. That's why the pitch mix is so important.
Right.
And he throws 10 pitches. Now, he doesn't throw them all equally, but he does just enough of each one to make you think twice about things. Like the four-seamer that he throws, 20.9% of the time. Curveball, 17.6. Sinker, 15. Cutter, 12.6. Changeup, 10.6. That's just the first five pitches. He all throws at more than 10% of the time. You don't know what's coming. Then there's the slurve you talked about. 9% of the time he's throwing the slurve, which is the slow curve. Like, there's a lot of mix there.
There is. I mean, the guy just knows how to pitch. Like, that's it. And you're seeing it in his results, and you're seeing how he's doing it. I think heading up to a point where if you know that that's a possibility for you as an individual, it's a very hard time to keep your inside your game, to play inside of yourself, and to be able to do this. And he's showing you how he's answering under pressure as well, which I think is really cool.
We don't know, as we're talking about Seth Lugo in our stalking segment leading up to the trade deadline, guys that the Cubs might be interested in. We don't know if he will be available, but I wonder if he is available, Layla. Man, that cost is going to be high. Even though he's not an elite arm, he is a top-of-the-market arm because we know what the market looks like.
Yeah, last year still matters to me.
Okay.
You know, and what he did. And the fact that I just mentioned his numbers over his last seven, I feel like that is valid in all of this as well. His team ends up, as we said, out-dueling Pittsburgh. But even in his most recent outing, six innings, two earned runs, one walk, five strikeouts, that'll work. Two home runs given up, you don't love that, but God knows we understand. So, ideally, I mean, and you look at him as a real possibility in the trade candidate market for sure.
That dog will hunt, I believe, is the...
I always say that about a hit ball. I'm like, that dog will hunt.
Listen, where the Cubs are right now, they just need guys who can get outs and do it without giving up a bunch of runs. But, and he fits that bill.
He also fits the bill of being able to take up a lot of innings. And that's important, too, when we consider this all together. You're listening to Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score as we continue to talk about stalking possible trade candidates. Yes, Robbie?
So you guys talked about with Russ last segment. If you haven't listened to that, go back in the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. We all know that. Where would Seth Lugo be in the Cubs' rotation? You guys said he may be ahead of Shota Imanaga. Where was he fit?
I think he's still two to Shota. Age. Sorry. It matters in athletics. That's all. Sometimes my theories are that simple. Like, Daniel Palencia throws 100, give him the ninth. Like, oh, he throws strikes and he throws 100? Yep, ninth inning for you. Oh, you're older than usual pitchers we like? Okay, you're number two.
I don't think that I'm doing it for the same reason, but I would have him slotted in at the two because of his experience with the playoffs, but also deference to Shota as being the guy who's been the guy for them for two seasons now. You see the winning percentage when he's on the mound. You see that the Cubs usually do, last night was an aberration, they usually do produce when Shota is on the mound. I like him slotted in at a two and feeling like you got a puncher's chance when you're talking about Matthew Boyd now as your three. And that's the whole reason why I say bring someone closer to the top of a rotation, because it doesn't matter if you add at the bottom, if that guy's your fifth starter, he's a non-factor in the playoffs.
This is a good point from Twitch. This is Hologram_Harry. Is this really the year when GMs give up 6 years of control of a top prospect for a number three? Yes, I think it is. I think you're going to, once the first domino starts to fall, I think some teams are going to be really aggressive. Because remember, as conservative as we think a lot of teams have been with an impending potential work stoppage after next season, I think they might also think that this is the best time to utilize the windows of some available talent.
Well, I don't think they give up Owen Casey in this deal.
No, I don't think the Cubs would. I'm saying this at GMs. I'm not particularly talking about Owen Casey.
Okay. I think the big thing for me is Ben Brown is probably going to get moved in a deal. I'm kind of coming back to, unless there's someone lower level where you're going to give up maybe more prospects to get a guy that can help you with innings.
I wonder if Spiegel and Holmes would ask this of Craig Counsell, because he is joining 670 The Score in just under an hour at 2:30. We have more to come here on 670 The Score. We have the classiest sports interruption of all time.
I like classy.
Don't we? We continue to stalk people, by the way. Send us your submissions. We've gotten some really funny, like, out-of-context requests. Like, please stalk Shane Bieber. Please stalk so-and-so. And I'm like, hey, you got it. We'll do what we can. And just as a friendly reminder, if you need to get some of these wild trade ideas off of your chest, if you're bursting with a sports thought, go to the Odyssey app, hit the leave a voice message feature. Tell our meatball machine we're going to put together a compilation. So that way, nobody looks that wild.
That's coming up Friday. It might just get up a whole bunch of wild
takes.
There's
power numbers. You know, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to throw something out there. I have a feeling you're going to be among friends.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
But first, Pearl Jam.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And that was one excerpt from the Bill Simmons podcast. This is Rahimi and Harris on the Score. The title of the Bill Simmons podcast episode that we are about to discuss is also upsetting when you consider the, even just the title. He spoke about the Bulls in the episode called The Bleakest NBA Team Situations Over the Next 5 Years with Ryan Russillo. The bleakest.
Did he call the Bulls the bleakest, though? Because wasn't it a direct comparison between them and the former Bullets, the Washington Wizards? Listen, I get it. It is bleak to me. I live it every day. We sit here and talk about the Bulls. People are asking me, oh, what are they going to get back for Vucevic? It's gone from that to, are they going to have to buy out Nikola Vucevic? It's gone from Josh Giddey, should they sign him to the qualifying offer? Should they pay him $30 million? Is there a plan to get better at an accelerated rate? Why didn't they take the trade for an unprotected draft pick from Joe Dumars and the New Orleans Pelicans for next season?
Which is now being called on that very podcast a bad trade for New Orleans.
Yes, it's a horrible trade for New Orleans. It's,
that's what you want. You want the bad trade.
You want the it was it, it
just
may
like
be the,
dealing with the Kings for many years. You want the bad trade.
They said it might be the worst trade in modern in the like last 15, 20 years.
No. First of all, it wasn't even the worst trade this season.
What was the worst trade this season
in the NBA?
No.
It is Luka and the fact that you didn't shop him. Might I remind you how many first-round picks Desmond Bain got you?
I understand, but they did not get a future Hall of Famer back in the Desmond Bain deal. They got Anthony Davis back. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's one of the allegedly greatest 75 players to ever play the game.
But the point is...
I know that's a point of contention specifically, and not just with you. And
but
not
the
just
reason
with you.
We're talking about both of these things is the importance of getting assets in the draft, namely in the first round.
Layla, I promised myself before this segment started that I would not allow my blood pressure to rise. We're going to discuss. I'm going to try not to yell. I'm going to try not to raise my voice. But I agree with you 100%.
The job is to have an opinion. If you yell, it's because you're passionate
but
about
I'm gonna,
something.
I'm gonna,
let it rip.
No. What I'm saying is I'm going to state my opinion without overmodulating the microphone.
F that. If I want to overmodulate something because I feel passionately about it, I do it. If you want a robot, go find, you know, places where you find those.
Let's get to the cut. Let's get to it.
The point is, Bill Simmons was talking about, yes, the bleakest situations, and he did mention the Bulls in his podcast. I think it's important to bring up Bill Simmons because he is, to me, still one of the elite commentators of the NBA and observers therein. But it's the viewpoint that he had that kind of surprised me because those of us who live here and observe the Bulls on a daily basis know that it's a contrast to what you may think about the team. So he said that the Bulls had the bleakest situation in the Eastern Conference, which surprised me.
My number one was Chicago. I stared at it. They still have this Giddey RFA.
This is your least favorite one.
Yeah,
Chicago.
Here's why.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't love a single guy in their roster. Maybe Budzelis.
Like, at gunpoint,
yeah. I like Budzelis. Is he going to make an All-NBA team? I don't know. They have $85 million in expirings this season, right? So you think like, oh, look out for the Bulls, summer 2026. They've just never been that team. We've never seen it. They haven't paid the luxury tax in forever. They have all their firsts. It's a small market, big market team. I didn't like their first round pick this year. I don't know why they didn't make the Derek Queen
trade. The Red Sox are like, what's the issue?
The Red Sox were like, I like what the Bulls are doing. I thought they should have made the Derek Queen trade. Move back 11 spots. Get New Orleans' first round pick. But
it all depends on which version of the Derek Queen trade you were offered, is I think what the lesson
we'll
is.
We'll never know the answer. Kobe White's about to be a free agent. That scares me. Like, what is his next contract? That Patrick Williams and Okoro, 4 for 72 for Williams, 2 for 22 for Okoro. They have some expirings, but I just don't know what this team is. Like, where am I going the next 3 years? I know I'm not going to be like a bottom 5 team next year. Maybe I'll get lucky and win the lottery, but it just seems bleak to me. Who am I selling to my fan? If I'm a Bulls fan, what am I excited about? My owners have already made it very clear to me we're never going to really spend money. I don't think free agents are going to be like, man, I'd love to go to Chicago. They've done a job with the Jordan legacy where you never hear a player be like, I want to go to Chicago and reinvigorate the Bulls. That team really meant something. I just don't really know what this team is other than a team that's going to go 40 and 42 every year. So that's my number one pick.
He did give them an extra win from the norm of 39 and 43. So there's that.
To be fair, they were projected to win fewer games than they ended up winning this year.
Because that's what they do, because they refuse to tear down the roster. Everything that Bill Simmons just said, I agree with. There were other parts of the pod I didn't agree with, but I agree with that sentiment. That's what I've been saying for the last few segments we've talked about the Bulls. See, I almost lost it right there.
Yes, and they also compared on the podcast the situation going on with the Washington Wizards. And I think that's the question. Is would you rather be in the Bulls situation or the Wizards situation? But here's my thing. I haven't seen anything about the Wizards situation that makes you encouraged about them being upwardly mobile.
Well, they tried to tank. It didn't work out for them in the manner that they had hoped because it's not a guarantee thing. But one thing they just did was they got Cam Whitmore. And I was like, that's a guy that could do something on the Bulls. Currently, the way they're constructed, the way they're talking about doing things right this second. I think there's a lack of long-term vision in a short-time spot. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Yes, I do, because I feel like the Bulls are in a reverse scenario given that discussion. When you consider that Arturis Karnashova said summer 2026 is the flexibility that they have, when you understand that until he's moved... And that's a big if, as we've seen, which does not surprise me. Until Nikola Vucevic is moved, this is what you're talking about. He's got 1 year left, as we all know. That's a huge commitment for you financially. I think the Patrick Williams contract ends up being a big point of emphasis, even though it's more team friendly, because of the assets that you have to devote in the draft to it. We think Noah Sengay probably replaces him as the starter at some point next season. And then also whether or not he can be moved. And then you have the guard redundancy, even though we love the guards when it comes to Kobe White, I would assume.
Let me back up. Let me just pause right quick.
And then
quick.
Trying to figure out Giddey. So, like, yeah, I mean, I feel like this, I'm not willing to throw away this year. I'm not saying it is. But I don't think that they can do what they want to do until after this upcoming season if they can't move those assets we just discussed.
Two quick things. Do you see Noah Essengay as a starter this year? I never even... conceptualize that as a possibility.
I know it's been discussed by people who keep more tabs on the Bulls actively than I do, and I think I keep pretty decent tabs. I think that the Modest Buzelis plan, that's a plan. It's not necessarily a guarantee as to what we saw out of him, but I think that that's something that is... I think that is an expectation for Essengay moving forward.
I think Essengay could be a starter.
Not like he's starting like at the beginning of the season.
No. I'm saying just down the line. I just don't see him. He can't shoot. And I don't think the Bulls have enough shooters to be like, there's a guy who can't shoot on the court right now. Just based on what we think the roster will look like, and especially if they do move on from Vooch before or even during the season, you got to have guys who can put the ball in the basket from distance, at least be a threat from distance in the modern NBA. The other thing is, this kind of plays into why that trade, or lack thereof, was so awful in terms of getting the unprotected pick from the Pelicans next year, is because when you talk about financial freedom next summer, here's the best part about the financial freedom. If you play it right and have that pick in your back pocket, you can use that as part of a sign-in trade, whatever.
You can help, and you can also help move somebody's contract who might not necessarily be movable.
There's no...
That's my thought.
Yes, also with the Patrick Williams contract as well. You can wipe the slate clean, or you can use that pick to get either a superstar if it's high enough, or get an actual NBA superstar that's further along.
Which we've discussed. Bill Simmons also said this on this podcast, as you're listening to Raheemy and Harris on The Score. He called out ownership. And I think we know that this is an unlikely scenario. And when I say unlikely, I mean 95%. But the national viewpoint is not a bad one to at least understand how people are talking about this team.
I'll go 99%, by the way.
Yeah. But the point is, it's not happening, but just listen and see what you think.
I think this has been a criminally misused asset for really since Jordan left, when instead of going for the seventh title, they said, oh, no, we're going to rebuild. We're smarter than everybody. And from that moment on, all they did was cheap out. And basically, they're in the third biggest city. They're just cashing all this revenue that you get from being in Chicago. All these people, these generations of people that grew up on the Jordan's Bowls or remember the great days. And so they keep their tickets and just kind of wait for something good to happen. And nothing good is going to happen with these owners. And I just feel like if I was like a cajillionaire, that would be the team I would try to buy. Because if you can reignite that team and rebuild them and tap into the Jordan DNA and Pippen and the, you know, bring those guys back and give Jordan a ceremonial position and really like ignite it, I think that would be a really special franchise. And right now it's not. I think it's the worst situation in the East.
He wants to bring back Michael Jordan in a ceremonial role and get the band back together with Scottie Pippen. Michael Jordan's not coming back here for that.
Michael Jordan wasn't even here for the Ring of Honor game.
Like, what are we talking about here? And this is where the, I don't want to call it out of town stupid, but out of town, out of touch comes into play. Is that a fair statement to use describing that?
Yeah, because I don't think Bill Simmons is out of town stupid. I think it is a point where at least you want to know what is being said to glean some sort of intelligence or information that you didn't have before. It does make sense. It would make sense that there is a bigger connection there between those teams and trying to capitalize on it. But that's also a two-way street.
I look at this specifically from the what ownership could do differently, and I know what they're going to do, which is fill the building. That's priority number one. It's played out that way for several seasons now when they have not been in the playoffs. So we know what that is, and this idea that they would sell, because we know what the Reinsdorfs have openly stated about which team they're keeping, which team is going when Jerry passes on from this mortal coil that he's in currently.
I just think the concept of ownership changing, that just because there's not a for sale sign in front of something doesn't mean it's not. But the likelihood of that happening is incredibly low. When you consider how Jerry Reinsdorf is preparing to move on from being the White Sox owner.
We're seeing it right now.
Michael runs the Bulls, period. As for whether or not you get a mission statement that pleases you if you're Bill Simmons, or are you trying to figure out how bleak their situation is in the Eastern Conference, I wonder if maybe a year from now I'm a little more pointed about this if we don't know. But since that part of it was told to me, and I'm still trying to figure out how to build a team in this new CBA world.
Why? Well,
until you have a cachet of draft picks, a cachet. Like, I think that means at least like three or four that you want to do something with.
What's funny about what you just said is forget about cachet. I can't imagine them having extra picks at all. They don't have extra picks.
You can name the teams who have caches of draft picks.
They'd start with the Thunder.
Right. That's the biggest of the caches.
You're going to be very frustrated a year from now if that's what you're looking for them to somehow get a cache of draft picks.
No, I just think they'll be more flexible when it comes to defining starting roles on the team. Like, they'll have more assets that they can either... Vooch will be... At that point, that contract is done.
If there's a buyout and you get no draft compensation for Vooch, I will remember one of my things, my two things. Yeah, that's what we're looking at right now.
And I hate that I'm talking about him like it's a bad thing.
Vooch wants out. It's cool.
This contract on this team does not work as we previously saw it.
Yes.
And I feel the same way about the starting four, unfortunately.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
There ain't no way. I don't know how you make Pro Bowl, All Pro, and you're not a top 100 guy. That's, I mean, I could have been 101, I guess, but Aaron Rodgers didn't even play in the season. He was voted, so they made some mistakes.
I'm never going to not love that. That was Jalen Johnson talking about when he didn't make the NFL's top 100 list. Of course, it wasn't said that way in Hard Knocks, but you know how it was really said. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score, and it is that time of the year in the NFL. We got through lying season. We got through minicamp season. We're about to get to training camp season. So right now, it is list season.
Yeah, I don't think any Bears are going to make this year's NFL 100.
We've been seeing them slowly roll it out, and it's been something you and I have been in news terms, continuing to track.
They're up to 81. So, I mean, there's only 80 players left. And I think if a Bear was going to pop up, it would have been in that area. Go back to last year. They had two people.
Yeah.
One of them's not even on the team anymore. And he was the highest rated. And Keenan Allen. So, yeah, it's looking kind of bleak.
And so recently, I know Lawrence actually mentioned it. They talked about it on the afternoon show. And it was on our list. But then we got the Bears surveys and we wanted to do those because we thought those were really important. The Check the Mic Show, the 33rd team guys. Wow, did I do the 33 there? I think I did. The 33rd team guys, Steve Palazzolo and Sam Munson. Man, I'm going to get those 10 Bears for my 10-year anniversary in October. The Steve Palazzolo and Sam Munson podcast. They talked about Steve's top 25 players under 25 years old. Number one is maybe not who you think it is. It's Kyle Hamilton, the safety for the Ravens.
Two-time All-Pro.
Yeah. Makes sense, but you tend to think offense when you think of young talent.
Absolutely.
So number two is Robbie's bestie, Penei Sewell.
Yeah, even though PFF gave our offensive line number 13 and the Bears are four. Yeah,
they love
sense.
The PFF, I'm telling you.
That makes sense.
You lost your starting center.
We still have the best, I would say, offensive tackle in the entire league.
Oh, one guy. That's a whole offensive line makes.
We got Taylor Decker, too. Whatever. You guys will see twice this year.
What's funny, though, is for all the talk we had about whether or not he was going to be his rookie season, Penei Sewell, remember it was very, very confident assessment from NFL pundits, everybody saying he was going to be a generational talent. They draft him. And then his rookie season, they're like, oh, maybe not. And then the second year from on, it's like, oh yes, yeah, sorry about that. Yes, we were all right the first time.
Yeah, hearing all the, oh, Darnell can be their Penei Sewell, it's like, all right, good luck.
I mean, I see why.
Don't knock the Darnell Wright, but Penei Sewell's a beast.
I know it was a knock to Darnell Wright. To be honest, Robbie, if you're going to be out here with your Detroit
Brody has texted in and he said, because I said dirty turd team, that I've earned an extra bear. So I'm very excited about that. He's going to celebrate the anniversary in October. Point being, sometimes players that you're confident in briefly take a step back because, oh, I don't know, they're getting used to a whole new league. And then they're like, oh, never mind. Yeah, that's the guy we thought he was. Number three is a quarterback, Jaden Daniels. Number four is a quarterback, CJ Stroud. Number five is Puka Nacua. Number six is Will Anderson. And number seven is Jared Verse. Jalen Carter is number eight. Brock Bauer is nine. Brian Thomas Jr. is 10. So that rounds out your top 10. Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, the running backs 11 and 12. Caleb Williams, not on this list. The only two quarterbacks, though, as we mentioned, are on the list are Jaden Daniels and CJ Stroud. Does it concern you that Caleb isn't on the list?
No. No, it doesn't concern me. Not, when I tell you it doesn't concern me, like, it really doesn't concern me. And what's great about this is from Steve Palazzolo, and he's on a podcast with Sam Monson, right?
Yeah, and we're familiar with Sam. Sam does a lot of work with us.
So they each individually had their top 25 lists. I just want to point out, Caleb Williams didn't make either of their top 25s in terms of players under the age of 25. And so understanding that, you have to kind of go through the players on the list. Like, go to the bottom of that list, Leah. Who's number 25?
Tyler Smith, the guard for the Cowboys. Ladd McConkey, wide receiver, number 24. Jackson Smith and Jigba, 23rd. Marvin Harrison Jr., 22nd. And then Joe Alt is number 21.
Would you not say that all five of those players you just named are more accomplished than Caleb Williams?
At their respective positions.
Exactly. Yes. So that's why I have no concern about this list whatsoever. You want to get on the list, go out there and do something.
Yeah. In fact, I think it could be one of those things for your quarterback where he puts it on his locker or it is bulletin board material and you take it personally.
Also, there's only two quarterbacks on the list.
Right.
So you have to weigh all that in before you get offended at a list, you know?
I don't even think it's necessarily getting offended. I think when you consider that you think you're as good, say if you're looking at it through Caleb Williams' eyes, if you think you're as good as these people, not just the quarterbacks, but that you're as good and deserve that same respect at your position based on your youth and your talent, how are you seeing it? And I think we're going to get into this a little bit later on the show, actually an hour from now at 12:25. The Athletic Football Show delved into some of the things, the messages that fans of teams want to believe and also what the media wants to believe. Not necessarily narratives, but what seems to be the big discussion right now surrounding that group. That's part of this, I feel like, too. You didn't have an offense and you didn't have a system that unlocked the talent for anybody on the team last year, Marshall. And I think we've talked about that extensively. Like, even you bringing up how the only two players on last year's NFL Top 100 were Keenan Allen and Montez Sweat. Sweat didn't have his best year. The defense didn't favor him last season. You know, how are you seeing this come together this year? Not just the hope, but the expectation is you're going to have somebody on this list next season. Because the talent is unlocked. Roma Dunze is also under 25, too. You know, he should be part of this discussion.
I wonder how close, I wonder how far off 25, like in the others receiving votes, you would have had to go to get either Monson or Palazzolo to give you a bear.
The honorable mentions, if you will.
Yeah.
When you look at this list, it really is a discussion of the elite talent, though, in the NFL. When you consider guys like what we mentioned in the top 12, I told you the bottom five. You fill it out with Trent McDuffie, the corner from Kansas City, Derek Stingley Jr., cornerback for Houston, Drake London, the wide receiver for Atlanta, Brian Branch, safety for the Lions, big, huge for them when you consider what they needed in their secondary, by the way. Malik Nabers at 17, I'd argue might should be higher, but he was on a team where he had to shine in spite of what was going on. Devin Witherspoon, Quinyon Mitchell, Kristen Gonzalez, and that's your list. And then you get to Joe Alt, so we said all those names already. That's a very impressive list of who you're looking at as the young talent in the league.
7 wide receivers, only 1 tight end. I just think it's interesting. At the running back position, there are only 2 running backs. So it tells me, as I'm looking at the positions, where the Bears possibly could pop up on this list.
Right.
Is, you mentioned Rome Odunze. I don't know what Darnell Wright would have to do to get on the list.
I think it may just be because he's in a role that wouldn't necessarily get you on a glamour list. Kind of like defensive players talking about how the Heisman is an offensive list, or, you know, that type of thing. I think at his position, he has that potential. But at the same time, the role he has on the team doesn't really call for that kind of glamour.
I have a player, too, that could make this list, and it's dependent on, like, how Ben Johnson uses him. Could Colson Loveland be on this list? Because I don't know where on the Bears' weapons, where he ranks, but I could see him being a major, major impact this year.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point when you consider how they potentially want to use him. I'm still trying to figure that out. Like, that's my biggest concern about this. And it's not necessarily as simple as too many weapons. It's, here are the commodities I know. Here's what they've done in their potential, like a guy like Cole Kmet, who led the Bears in receiving 1 year. Here's how I know they can be utilized to their best abilities, like a guy like DJ Moore, where you saw his entire career, he racks up high numbers, you know, seasons over 1,000 yards, where he can hit a career high even with the Bears. And then I know that this is the potential you see in guys like Luther Burden, Rome Odunze, for example, Colston Loveland. That's the hard part of this, is reconciling all of that for me. Like, I feel like I'm Gary Gaines on Friday Night Lights looking at the depth chart.
I just think the Bears aren't that young overall. Like, their best players aren't young anymore. And that's kind of, when we talk about the Ryan Poles drafts, somebody from those drafts would have had to be good to be on this list. And nobody's reached that potential. You don't have a Pro Bowler. You know, like, these are all factors here.
Well, and even some of the questions about the potential, like, I appreciate our Twitch mob always. And like Casey and Coop's dad on Twitch says, is Quinnon Mitchell on that list? How is he more accomplished than Caleb? He had 46 tackles and no interceptions. And that's kind of the point. Some of this seems to be based on potential, and some of this seems to be based on performance.
Yeah, I think performance is carrying more weight, though, than potential is. Because if it was just potential, then Caleb might have a better shot. Although, when you lose 10 games in a row and you're not dynamic as a passer in terms of statistics, that's not going to help you. So, a good point 847 brings up on the text line. Over the past 3 drafts, the Bears have drafted 4 players in the top 12. 1 or 2 of those guys better hit as all pro.
Preach.
You're
you are absolutely correct. Like, that is, it's not just the album cover when you talk about that high. It's also the expectation of the talent. And when you consider the people we just mentioned, think about how many of those were sought after in that top 12 realm. That's a lot of these individuals. So I think that makes a lot of sense. We have more football talk at 12:25. The Athletic Football Show talked about narratives surrounding teams. Well, it is narratives, I guess. But also storylines. And it involves Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. We're going to look into it then.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.